Music was great. I'm glad we picked that last song to sing this morning. Yes, Jesus loves me. Where would any of us be if Jesus hadn't loved us? But yeah, get all these characters in here. She says, I got a seat over here. It's my favorite seat. Just didn't mean to embarrass you, but both Karen and I work with the Canadian Sunday School Mission. We have ministry in schools for the benefit of those who perhaps have never seen us or know what we do. We are in the schools between Spanish and Echo Bay. I always tell people that oftentimes I speak in Spanish. And they look at me like, I didn't think you were bilingual. I saw, yeah. Every other week. So then we have a camping ministry in the summer. We go to camps. We're at the Oshpakoon for the junior boys in another 2 weeks, I guess it is. 1 week, 2 weeks. My secretary will take care of that for me. And then we're back in the 1st of August where we do a wilderness camp or an outpost camp. They take a bunch of boys out in the bush there, and we have a great time. They do lots of fishing and swimming and catching bugs and all kinds of things like that. But we have spend the time in the bush with them and introduce them. A lot of these kids never darken the door of a church, some of these boys, so we have the opportunity to share with them the beautiful truths from the scriptures and introduce them to Jesus, the one who loves them. Well, now that we got the herd in here, are we glad we're here? Good. Some of you guys look like you've been weaned on a dill pickle. I can see where you get it from, though. Your parents look the same, so don't worry about that. Anyways, I'd like to get a couple of you giants up here. I need a boy and a girl up here because if I don't draw a picture, I go cold turkey, and that's an ugly thing to see, you know. So who would like to come and get their face drawn? There you go. I knew you'd be. Come on up. You come on right up here. She's so shy. And we need a boy. We need a boy up here. Yeah, oh, come on. Yeah, you come on down. All right. You have to turn this one on. There we go. All right. I want to introduce you to these two fine-looking people. Are you fine-looking?
Yeah.
Yeah. I told you she was shy. Anyway, you're not. Really? And what's your name?
Holly.
Holly. Is that like the stuff that you get at Christmas time?
Kinda.
You know that stuff is prickly, though. Are you prickly?
No.
Oh. How old are you?
Six.
Six? Now that's pretty old, isn't it?
Kind of.
If you were to pick a number of somebody that was really, really old, what number would you pick?
If somebody was really old?
Yeah, how old would they have to be really, really old?
Maybe 96.
96. I just got under the line. All right. 96. Anybody 96 here? Don't put up your hand. You could hurt yourself. And what's your name, dude?
Dante.
Who?
Dante.
Dante. And how old are you?
Six.
You're six too. Wow. And what number would you pick if you were to pick somebody that was really old?
100.
Yeah. Let's keep it up there. Anyways, and what do you want to be someday when you get bigger?
What do I?
What would you like to be someday when you get bigger?
Can I say two things?
Okay.
Artist.
Wow, a farmer and an artist. So you get to draw cows.
Who is that farmer?
What kind of farmer artist would you like to be?
Like, I would like to have two jobs, like one job a farmer and one job an artist.
Really? Which one do you think you'd make more money?
Farmer.
Farmer? Why?
Because you have to take care of animals.
Oh, like little brothers and stuff like that?
No.
Oh. Real animals. Okay, well, I have a little brother, what can I say? Hey, what would you like to be someday when you get bigger?
I like to be a policeman.
Ooh, yeah. You like pulling people over and saying, hey, give me your license.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know anybody that's a bad driver?
Not so much.
Not so much? Don't mean you can think about it. All right, well, you stand over there. I'm going to draw your faces. Okay, and just going to stand over there a little bit so I can look down or look up or turn around here so I can see you. There we go. Otherwise, I'm going to draw the back of your head. That's kind of funny looking. No, I'm just kidding. All right, we're going to draw your nose. You got a squeaky nose. Look at that. There you go. Doesn't that look like your nose?
No.
I thought I did it. All right. We'll give you some nice eyelashes. Girls always have eyelashes. I don't know why. Maybe it's for smacking mosquitoes or something. I don't know. There you go. Don't get too excited. We don't want you to hurt yourself there. All right, here we go. Nice, smiley cheeks. Okay? What are you laughing at? She's laughing. Can you imagine? Oh, let's see that smile. That's it? Okay. Look at that, isn't that? Do you have any freckles?
No.
Do you want a wart? Yeah? Do you want me to put a wart on there? I can put a wart right in your nose. No? No, okay. Okay, now we're going to get this headband on there. There we go. Some hair coming out down here. Hey, that looks pretty good. Give her a big hand. She did a great job. You can sit down, and after you come up here, and you can get your picture. Now we're going to get the dude here. Better get out of the way here. Folks over there can see dude. Yes. He's a dude.
Oh.
Are you a dude? Yeah. Cool. You got a squeaky nose too. All right. So you're going to be a policeman. So in other words, if I do a bad job of drawing your face, you're going to pull me over someday.
Yeah.
So better make it good, eh? You think? Do you know who Michael Jordan is? No, he was a famous basketball player. Did you know that? No, there you go, see? And I asked you that for a reason. Because we're going to give you the Michael Jordan book. No?
No.
Oh, hey, wait, don't go away. Do you want some hair on there?
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to do this. How's that? You want more? I think it's going to bite me. Ah, goodness. Listen to that. Hair is so squeaky. There we go. What do you think now? Better? All right, give him a big hand. He did a great job. And then you come up after. Yes. We have the privilege of being amongst giants this morning. You know, there's a story about two giants that grew up in the streets of Chicago many years ago. Both went to Sunday school, both were characters, but one of them, he was such a character that the Sunday school teacher finally gave up on him and
and asked them not to come back to Sunday school. And the other one, even though he was a character, just like the other fellow, his teacher patiently worked with him, encouraged him, and he kept coming to Sunday school. He wasn't asked to leave Sunday school, go away. And both of them became giants. One of them was John Dillinger, a notorious killer on the streets of Chicago. The second one was D.L. Moody. Personally had led more people to the Lord than anybody we know. Both grew up on the streets of Chicago, both giants. And they both, so before us today, we have the privilege of being in the presence of giants. The future of our country, the future of our church, the future of so much are in the hands of these young folks. So I count it a privilege to have the calling by God to work with kids. Have been doing it for something like 43 years. Started in Toronto. And I was introduced to Jesus through a man that took an interest in street kids. Both my brother and I would show up at a little club, I guess you would call it today, but it was just a group of boys off the streets, maybe five or six boys. And the pastor, the minister, we would build little balsa models, you know, those ones with all the little ribs in it and stuff like that. And I was fascinated with that. So we were working on these little models all the time. But every week he would put one verse on the blackboard. He didn't preach at us. He didn't tell us a whole story. He just gave us one verse. And one day he wrote John 3:16. He said, you know what, guys? This is a personal invitation from God to you for heaven. And you can put your name in there. And so as he showed us how to do it, I read that verse, and it read like this. For God so loved Bob Knight that he gave his only begotten son, that if Bob Knight believed in him, he would not die but have everlasting life. And that night I went home, and God stuck that verse in my brain. I didn't know anything about God. I didn't even want to know anything about God. I really didn't care. But that verse played in my heart, in my mind, all the way home. And I remember my bed was down in the basement of the house. And I went down and I got on my knees and I said, God, I don't know what hell's like, but I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. And I don't know what heaven's like either, but I sure want to be there. So God, do whatever you have to do, because I want to be in heaven. And you know what? At the age of 11, God did what only God can do. He changed the heart of a young boy. And I know I'm going to be in heaven. Why? Because when Jesus knocked on the door, I opened it. Said, come on in. You know, that's all it takes. God has done it all. We bring nothing to the table. We come empty-handed. God does it all. All he's wanting us to do is to open the door and let him come in and do what he can do and wants to do. Anyways, we better get going here. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke 15. We're going to look at a story today that I have entitled Leroy. And you say, wait a minute. I don't remember any Bible story by the name of Leroy. Well, today you're going to be introduced to Leroy. All right? Luke chapter 15, very famous bunch of parables that Jesus was teaching. In fact, the story starts out like this, and I love this part of the story, really. The very first verse of chapter 15, it says, it's now the tax collectors and sinners. It's interesting how God even connected tax collectors to sinners. You know. Yeah. But anyways, getting on. It says, they were all gathered around to hear him. Now that's interesting. Do you have any tax collectors and sinners that come to your church? They should be. Yes, you see, here Jesus found himself down at the local mall, and these hoodies were hanging around. They wanted to hear what he had to say. You see, that's our ministry. It's not coming to feel comfortable in church. It's about reaching the tax collectors and sinners of our society. We see them here. They gathered around Jesus to hear him. You see, a person without Christ is lost. The Bible tells us that. They're hurting. There's an empty spot in them that only God can fill. And so here they were, gathered around Jesus. But there was another crew there too. Read verse 2. It says, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered. Any of you guys mutter? Yeah, we got some honest people saying, yeah, I mutter. Where do we learn how to do that? From our mutters. That's my theory. But anyway, they began to mutter. What were they muttering about? I mean, you know, shouldn't they be all excited? Here's Jesus teaching these beautiful things to a bunch of people that really needed to hear. Wouldn't they, shouldn't they be excited about they? These people claim to be the ones who knew all there was to be known about God. Yeah. They'd been to seminary. And they thought they knew everything there was to be known about God. Actually, they were the teachers of the law. Who should know better? And yet, here we see them muttering, what about? Says this, they said this man welcomes sinners. Are you glad that God welcomes you? You know, we're going to be in heaven not because we earned it. We're going to be in heaven because God welcomes us. That's the only reason. We're not going to be there because we earn once more. You can be as religious as you want. I used to work with a guy that went to church every day, literally every day. And then he'd show up at work. And he believed that was going to do it. No. When we open the door of our heart and God comes in, God welcomes us. He says, look at this. He said, look at him. He welcomes sinners and eats with them. Now, you know, a lot of times we look at these parables as being, well, they're really for children. You know, they're children's stories. So oftentimes you hear them say, you know, we need to hear this. Do you know who God was addressing here? The teachers of the law. The adults. The ones who should have known better. That's who he was talking to. And he said, hey, let me tell you a couple of stories. First of all, there was this lady. Have you ever lost something and thought you'd never find it? And you thought, oh, man. You know, and you look everywhere. My grandson, he's on his way back to Toronto. My other grandson and granddaughter, my son, they left to head south as we left to come to Sioux this morning, but he lost his wallet this week while he was up. And man, we looked everywhere. And it had his driver's license in it, his whatever, learner's driver's license, whatever, but he was, you know. And, you know, there was that sense of, oh, I'll never see it again. Well, here's this woman. She had 10 very valuable coins given to her. It was a kind of like a part of her dowry. And she wore this chain, this silver chain with 10 little coins attached to it on her forehead, and one had dropped off. One had fallen off. Now, she didn't say, hey, I'll get another one. No problem. No, that coin meant a lot more to her than just being, it was something that was given to her. And so she went to the closet. The Bible says she lit a lamp and she got out her Jerusalem vacuum cleaner here. And she began to sweep. And she went through every room, under every bed, and every corner. Finally, she found the coin. Talk about excited. Or did she just say, well, hey, cool. You know, I found my coin. I knew I would. No, that's not what the Bible says. You read the story. The Bible says that she went out and called all of her neighbors. I mean, ladies like to get together for tea time, right? Here was a great excuse. She had lost the coin that she thought she'd never see again, and she found it. And the Bible says that she went out and she called all of her friends in, and they had a great party over a silly little coin. Or at least some of us might think, why all the drama? Well, the Bible then takes us to another story that Jesus told. And this is where we introduce you to Leroy. Now, Leroy was a cool lamb. He was like no other lamb in the flock. I mean, if there was a rock in the middle of the field, Leroy would be standing on it. And he had a buddy called Lambert. Who'd you expect? Lambert thought the world of Leroy. He thought, oh, man, Leroy, you're so cool. I can't, wow, if I could, I would love to be. And Leroy said, yeah, I know. I'm cool. And Lambert said, oh, I mean, you know, it must be great to be cool and, you know, so popular and all that. And yeah, I know. In fact, you know, Leroy could do this. Nobody in the rest, none of the rest of the sheep could do it. But he could, you know, he could lean up against a rock. Old Lambert, he was just, wow, that, I mean, talk about a cool dude. Anyways, one day they're having this conversation, and Leroy says, you know, there's a whole world out there. You ever thought about it? Why don't we run away? And get out, and who knows what's out there? Boy, it's amazing how the devil can make something so terrible seem so attractive. And Lambert said, oh, I don't think so. Leroy said, come on, man, you want to be cool like me? Let's go out there and find out what's out in the world. Look what it offers. Well, Lambert said, no, I don't think so. You know, the shepherd would miss us. Leroy said, you don't think that shepherd knows how many sheep he has, do you? No, he doesn't know. He doesn't have a clue how many sheep he has. Lambert says, oh, I think he does. I think he does. Leroy said, man, Lambert, no wonder you're not cool. I mean, come on. There's a whole world out there. Look at all the things that we'll discover, and they'll be all ours. Lambert says, yeah, but I really think that shepherd will, he'll miss us. Leroy said, man, you'll never be cool. Never. Well, one day, Leroy, when the shepherd wasn't looking, took off. And there he goes across the pasture, boing, boing, boing. It wasn't long that he couldn't hear any of the sheep. He couldn't hear the bleating of the rest of the sheep. And he was out in this great world thinking to himself, wow, it's all mine. Amazing. You know, we preach a lot of sermons about Leroy. Maybe we should encourage our believers by preaching about the 99. They stayed where it was secure. They knew the shepherd. They belonged. They were protected. If all you have to rest on in your life is this world, you don't have much. You're heading for disaster. Look around us and look at the people that are holding on to things that are going to fall away. They're going to be gone. It isn't the world that offers us a great life. It's God himself. And so here we see Leroy. He forgets all those things, and he goes taking off across the pasture. And then he comes to this great big cliff, and he looks at it. Oh, man, look at that valley. Oh, look at the lush green. It's all mine. Boy, that Lambert, what a dummy. He could have been a part of this. Well, he got a little close to the edge. And down over that edge he went. Boom. And he landed on a ledge partway down. And he thought to himself, oh boy, whoa, well, at least I'm not dead. And he got up, shrugged himself, looked up and thought, whoa, I'll never be able to climb back up there. Then he looked over the edge, whoa, I ain't going to be able to jump down there. I'm stuck. I'm stuck. I'm going to die here. And you know what the real problem is? The shepherd doesn't even know I'm gone. He doesn't even know he's missing a sheep. Oh, really? Really? Is that what the Bible tells us? The shepherd came looking for me when I was 11. The shepherd came looking for you. And if he hasn't found you yet, because the Bible says, Jesus said this, I have come to seek and to save those who are lost. We live in a lost world. We need to remind ourselves of that. And the shepherd is looking for those lost. And God's going to use us to. Anyways, what I love about this part of the story is that the Bible tells us, if you read there, well, let's just read it. The Bible says this. It says about the shepherd, he says, does he not leave the 99 open in the open country and go after the sheep until he find it? You know what's important about that? The simple fact is this, that God could have sent his helpers. The shepherd could have sent his helpers, but the Bible says Jesus or the shepherd came himself. God didn't send a representative. He sent his son. He sent the shepherd. And so the Bible says that the shepherd came looking for him and he sought him until he found him. And there he was on the ledge. And the Bible tells us that not only did he find him, the Bible says he picked him up and he put him on his shoulders. If that had been my mother come looking for me and finding me, she said, get home now, get. She said it a lot of times. I always tell people, you know, God called me to tell stories. I think because I used to tell a lot of stories to my mom. She didn't believe many of them, but the Bible says he picked that lamb up and he put it on his shoulders and he carried it back. And you probably have heard the story of how the Eastern shepherds took care of lambs that constantly got themselves in trouble and ran off. He had a lamb that would continue to do that, doing this, he would take the lamb and he would break his leg. And then he would bind that leg up and he would carry that lamb. And when it was time to eat, he fed that lamb. When it was time to water, he would give the lamb water. And when that leg healed and he put the lamb on the ground, guess where you could always find the lamb? Next to the shepherd. Sometimes, you know, he has to break our leg to get our attention. Sometimes he has to do things. He allows things to come into our life so that he can get us to come close to him. Who's the first one you go to when you have a problem? You know, right away you say, Lord. I love it, you know, taking the Lord out of the schools, taking the Bible out of the schools, taking the Lord's prayer out of the schools. But it was interesting that when 9/11 happened and those two big towers went down in New York City, what did the president say? We need to pray. We need to pray for our nation. Why is it only when we get our leg broken do we find ourselves close to the Lord? We don't draw close to him until we really desperately need him. This Bible says that he took and he put the lamb on his shoulders and he carried him back. And when he got back, well, let's just read what it says. It says this. He says, rejoice with me. I have found my, oh, that's the coin thing. Let's go to the sheep here. He said, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be rejoicing in heaven because of one sinner who repents. I come with to you this morning also with a heavy heart. You see, my son made a commitment when he was a teenager, but he's not living for the Lord right now. And I saw three teenage grandchildren that have absolutely no time for the Lord in their life. The example that he set in his home is such that they just, I tried to even tell them this story as I was loading it up to bring it with me this morning, and there's just no interest. It was like a closed door. So you know that I'm going to be spending a lot of time on my knees praying for my grandkids. All of us in this room have those who we can reach out not too far to someone we wish would come to know the Lord. And our greatest weapon is prayer. And both my wife and I, as we came here this morning, and we talked about having the kids and realizing that they really need to take ownership. My son needs to take ownership of his relationship with the Lord. And I pray hard that my grandchildren will be in heaven. But one thing I can be guaranteed as I thought about the story today, this simple little parable, was that the shepherd himself came looking. He came looking for me, and I'm trusting him that he's going to come looking for them. Sometimes, you know, as parents, our relatives, we don't seem to have the access to them that others have. And so I'm praying that God, maybe through someone I don't even know, is going to come and knock on the door of their heart and say, hey, I'm here. I've come looking for you. You're lost. I want you found. I want to be able to walk through those golden gates of heaven someday and see my grandkids there. We have a great God. I'm glad we sang that song, Jesus Loves Me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. If God had not introduced me to his love in the way he did, I'd be lost. But he never let me go. He used a simple little verse, and that's why I put it on all my cartoons when I draw a picture. John 3:16, the gospel in a nutshell. We have a great God. We sang about him this morning. And he's looking. He wants to shepherd the lost. And this church he's going to use as one of his dynamics to impact a lost city in this area. The shepherd's on his way. He's already looking. He's traveling the roads. He's traveling the streets. And he needs us to get behind him. You can be guaranteed I'll be bathing my son and my grandchildren in prayer every day. Why? Because I know the shepherd's faithful. He's faithful. And I need to be too. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for these families that are represented here, for this church, for the ministry in the community. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony of Sunday school teachers and the teaching that goes on here. God, give us a heart for this community. Break our hearts. Help us to weep over those who are lost, Lord, that when the shepherd comes, their hearts will be open and they'll know what it means to have Jesus, the shepherd, in their lives. Lord, we love you so much for the way you love us. We pray, God, that you'll extend that love to those that we can think about right now who don't know you but need to know you. Just bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake.